If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, if you would lay that open in your lap. I want to visit with you just a minute to get started. Friday, I got the chance to go in between long and short, really on the long side, north of Muldrow. Anybody know where that is? Got to ride four-wheelers with my family and enjoy the day. Got to visit my grandma and it's good to have a lot of my family here. I'm so blessed by you being here. But we rode four-wheelers up there north of Muldrow, and we was going, there's a Dollar General there now. That used to not be there north of Muldrow. Matter of fact, the road to get to my family's land used to be all dirt road, and now they've paved it. And so, but we stopped there at the Dollar General, and my wife got a basket. And it's because we travel quite a bit, and that basket is a turquoise pretty basket that she keeps in the Jeep now to keep things nice, neat, and organized. You know, that's hard when you got kiddos. Amen. But we keep our valuables in this basket nice and neat and organized. A few months ago, I got a great picture of my little boy right there sitting on the third row. He was in this basket that we actually keep our fleece blankets in. And we live there in Sand Springs, and I got a picture of him sitting in that basket. Isn't he a cute little boy? But it was looking in that basket when I saw my little boy, I realized that he is so precious. And I realized that I had something of great worth and great value in the basket. In Acts chapter 9, that's exactly what we see. We see someone of great value. The Apostle Paul is sitting in a basket. And how many knows this morning in the house of God that the Apostle Paul was a great man of God? Amen. One of the greatest men of God that we could read about in history. God used him in such a mighty way. But I'm going to tell you, the basket had a great role in his life as he was let down. If you're in Acts chapter 9, in verse 18, would you shout amen? Amen? I'd ask if you're willing and able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not the he that destroyed them that called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates night, day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in what? A basket. Then in 2 Corinthians 11 and 32, the Bible says at Damascus, the governor under Artaxerxes, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, Desarius, to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, escaping his hands. I'd like to preach a question to you this morning. Who's in your basket? Who is in your basket? It's important to know who's in your basket. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we are thankful for the beautiful songs that we've got to sing around your throne. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that they put me in a basket, Lord, and I'm still able to preach the word of God because people invested in me. Father, there are people in this house, many different kinds of people, different situations, different circumstances that they face. But I pray, God, that you bring the basket to mind this morning. I pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God whispers to your people on the inside as I talk to them on the outside. We pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated in his presence. See, the basket is used there to protect and to present something precious. In the text, we see The Apostle Paul, in his very infant stage, protected and presented in a basket. They were out to kill him. They were wanting to take him out, but God had different plans, and he used a basket to protect him. We would read in history that the Apostle Paul would later preach 14,000 miles preaching the gospel and building the church of God. We'd see that he would start many churches. He would invest in leaders. He would do mighty things for God. 3/4 of the New Testament was written by Paul, but it all began in a basket. See, the basket is very important. And the question is this morning, who's in your basket? There's four types of lights that shed by the Apostle Paul that you could be and you could see in the basket. Number one, you might see the blind in your basket. Will y'all say that with me? The blind. Verse 8 of chapter 9, then Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor he drink. That word there, without sight, in Greek, it means unable to look, to behold, to perceive, or to take heed, having sight or being able to see. At this moment, in this stage of his life, he was unable to see. I believe there are many people in America today who's unable to see. They're unable to see because they're blinded. They're unable to see the world the way God would have them to see because they're blinded. In 2018, it was estimated that 1.3 billion people live with some form of vision impairment. In 188 million with mild vision impairment. 217 million with some sort of moderate vision impairment. And listen to this, 36 million people live in the world today who are blind. But I come to tell you this morning, there are people that you know and people who I know who are blind spiritually. The Apostle Paul was blinded physically. 36 million people are like that today in the world, blind physically. But there are so many in the world today who are blind spiritually. They're unable to see Jesus for who he really is. They don't know who he is, and they're blinded in the way they see life. That's why Paul would later say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and in whom the god of this world, his name is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. We live in a world today of people in our country and throughout our world who are blind, who desperately need the church of the living God to reach out and to be a light in a lost and dying world, to people who are blind that we encounter and people who are blind that we see every single day. You say, who are the blind? The blind are the people who are the last, the least, and the lost. The people who do not know Jesus and are not in a relationship with him. There's lots of blind people in the world today. And God would use his church, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to reach out to a lost and dying world. You know, here's what I've learned, that as you come to know Jesus, you don't see it all at first, do you, Brother Carl? But the more you seek Jesus, the more he begins to show you. The more you begin to seek Jesus, the more he will allow you to see. But I'm going to tell you, sight only comes when you come to Jesus. And if you come in this house today and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you would be the blind in the basket. And I'll tell you, you need to know Jesus Christ today so that you can see and you can be like the Apostle Paul and the scales fall from your eyes. Well, the blind are in the basket. Number two, the baby believers are in the basket. There's lots of baby believers out there. And at this stage in Paul's life, he's a baby Christian. He was blinded. He has an encounter with Jesus. He gets saved and he's a baby believer. Verse 18 says, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forwith, and arose and was what? He was baptized. He's a baby Christian that is baptized. What is baptism? Baptism is a first step of an inward change that took place. It's an outward sign of an inward change to say, hey, I was once dead in my trespasses and sin, but he has made me see. He took my black heart. He dipped it in his red blood and he made me white as snow. I'm brand new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul was a brand new believer. He was a brand new Christian. And he was telling the world that my hand is now in the hand of Jesus. And it's amazing because we look at what he was doing in that day. He was looking to wipe out Christianity as the world knew it. He was wanting to take it out. But yet God changed his life, didn't he? I don't know your heart today, but I can tell you, God can change your heart. He can make you brand new. He done it for me, and he can do it for you. God is no respecters of persons, and God loves you today. And if you don't know Jesus, you can, and you can be a baby believer in the basket. Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, you must be born again. How can I do that? I'm a grown man. How can I enter into my mother's womb again? How many knows he was talking about being born again spiritually? I'm thankful today. The best decision of my life was when I gave my life to Jesus and I became born again. I got saved. That's something you can never get over. Isn't that right today? You can't get over the day that you gave your life to Jesus and you got in the basket as a baby believer. Peter would say, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I can tell you if you don't know, the Lord is gracious. I can tell you if you don't know, the Lord is good. And I can tell you, if you're a baby Christian, that's okay. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God. There's things in the Word of God that you can see and you can understand as a baby Christian. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian, but I will say this. There is something wrong if you stay a baby Christian. What does that word mean, a babe, that Peter was using? It means to be simple-minded, unable to speak, infant, childish, baby, or immature. Where's Ezekiel at? This is little man right here, Ezekiel. And I remember when he was on a bottle, he began on a bottle, then he ate baby food, then he went to solid food, and now he eats like a hog, just like his mama. Okay, maybe it's like his daddy. I'm teasing. Yeah, he can eat just like me. Amen. That's my boy. But I've watched him as he had the bottle, and I watched him eat baby food, and I watched him eat solid food. Now I watch him eat a whole lot. There was a time when he couldn't even crawl. He had to be held. There was a time he had to be held all the time. And then he began to crawl. And then he began to walk. And now you can't keep up with him. He's 3 years old. And I watched that same process with our oldest girl, Alexis, our firstborn. And now she's starting kindergarten tomorrow. That doesn't seem real. And I guarantee you, you can't keep up with her. And she likes to talk a whole lot. But I tell you, as it is in the natural, so it is in the supernatural. As it is in the physical, so it is spiritually. Hey, we have to begin as baby Christians in the Lord, but he wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And I want to tell you, child of God, I want to tell you, seasoned Christian, it is our responsibility, it is our duty to invest in those who are baby Christians who God places in our basket. And I got to tell you that sometimes gets messy and that sometimes gets hard and it's difficult. And you got to understand that they are baby Christians and baby Christians are messy. But how many knows we need to give them grace? We need love on them. We need to show them the things of God and show them principles from the Word of God so they can grow and mature. The Scripture says, if there's no oxen, there's no mess. You know, because oxen leave a mess. All animals make a mess. Baby Christians make a mess. Hey, I know some seasoned Christians. that make a mess. People are messy. But how many is thankful that God is patient with us? No matter what season of life you are, you're in a basket and God loves you today. Number three, the burden believers might be in your basket. Will y'all say that with me? Burden believers. Verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled that the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. I preached at Kavanaugh Wednesday night, enjoyed that. I was telling Brother Carl, I preached about worry. I tell you, many things, we sweat the small stuff. We sweat the small stuff, and we worry about everything, sometimes small things. How many knows a bunch of little small things will add up to one big heavy thing? But we worry if we're not careful. How many knows that we're not made to worry? We're made to give our cares to Jesus. He says to cast all of your cares upon me, for I care for you. God loves you today. And don't expect you to carry the burden alone. He wants you to give it to Him. But I tell you, here in the passage of Scripture, that'd be something worth maybe worrying about, that they might take his life. They were wanting to kill this young apostle Paul as he begins his journey. He's on hell's hit list. I tell you, each of us are. Because there is an enemy named the devil who hates every single one of our guts. And he's seeking whom he may devour this morning. We have an enemy who does not like us. And he wants to take us out. He doesn't like us. And he's out to kill us. But how many knows that God cares about us and God can protect us today? And even though you might be on hell's hit list, you're on heaven's most wanted list. And even though you're on hell's hit list, you're on heaven's VIP list. Jesus loves you today and he can protect you through the things of this life. We're not made to carry our burdens. We're made to cast them. We can cast them on one another as Christians, and we can cast them on Jesus. Paul would say, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ as well as ye like things. Pray ye one for another. You may tell you one of the greatest things you can do to help bear one another's burdens is say, you know what? I'm praying for you. That goes so far. To send a phone call, to go visit someone, send a text message, say, I'm praying for you. Is there anything you need? Because we all go through burdens in life. And I believe in a house like this, there's many who might be carrying heavy burdens today, carrying situations that are hard for you, situations that are difficult. Maybe you've lost loved ones, or maybe a job loss, or unsure about the future. Maybe you sent your kids off to college or high school, and you're trying to adjust, and you're burdened today. Maybe people mistreated you, but there's a good chance you are carrying burdens today. And I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to carry it alone. There's good Christian people that you can cast your cares upon. You have a good pastor you can help cast your cares upon. But I'll tell you even more than that, you have a loving Savior that you can give your cares to this morning. He loves you today, and he don't intend for you to carry it alone. I remember I used to lift weights a lot. And now I'm pretty good at working that table muscle. I have lost 25 pounds. I'm trying to lose weight because I need to be healthy for my family. Amen? I think that's important. But I remember lifting weights. I was trying to bench press 315 pounds, and that was a lot for me. I was bench pressing under 300 pounds. My brother-in-law is here this morning. He can lift quite a bit. I don't know its max, but he can lift a lot. And as I got up under 315, I was psyching myself up to lift it. And I got it off the bar, and I got it down to my chest and barely moved it, and then gave out. But thank God I had some spotters there to help me get that off my chest, because I've been in trouble, Brother Carl. But I've noticed throughout my life in the ministry and throughout my Christian walk that God has sent spotters to help me. When I carry a load that's too much for me, God always is sending faithful spotters in my life to help carry the load. And as He done that for me, He'll do that for you. You may have burdened believers in the basket. Jesus said, "To come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You may be carrying a burden yourself. You may know friends, family members, church members who are carrying a burden today. Don't let them carry it alone. Invest in their life. Number four, lastly, busy believers. Will you say that with me? Busy believers. Look at verse 20. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." Then drop down to verse 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So the apostle Paul was a prosecutor of the church and a persecutor of the church. But now God had used him mightily to be a preacher and a pastor in Christ Jesus, for Christ Jesus, in the church of God. The same church he is wanting to wipe out. Isn't that amazing? And we read, I touched on it in opening, about how God used the apostle Paul to do so great and mighty things. But God touched his life. And he used him to be busy in the kingdom of God. See, God doesn't save us just to set us down. God saves each of us to serve him in the kingdom of God. One of the greatest things they could say about me and you is that we serve Jesus. That we wasn't lazy, that we didn't just sit, but we served. That we served God in the kingdom of God. You say, "I don't know where I can serve." There's plenty of opportunities for you to serve the Lord. I love that scripture. "Whatsoever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, do it unto the glory of God." And what that tells me that teachers can serve God. That tells me that bankers can serve God. That tells me construction workers can serve God. That tells me retired people can serve God. That tells me many people can serve the Lord. It tells me high school students can serve God. Wherever God has placed you, whatever field and whatever atmosphere God has placed you, you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and make a lasting impact on people's life. Amen. He said, "We are the light of the world. The light that's set on a hill cannot be hid." He said, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved to show them into a lost and dying world. We're saved for good works. Each of us are saved to serve Jesus. And if you're really saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to work in the kingdom of God, serving and making a lasting impact on people's life. I'll tell you, people can see that the light is real. In a blinded world that is full of darkness, they need desperately to see the light that God has put on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And the light shows. Jesus makes a difference in people's life. As I get ready to close, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. "And they which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those had laden, every one with one in his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand had a weapon." What is that saying? That's saying to me that the teamwork make the dream work. That means that there is no I and T, that it's all a team thing. And the same is true in the kingdom of God. It is a team work. Not all of us may be preachers in a pulpit, but all of us can be reachers in a lost and dying world. And all of us can serve one another in the kingdom of God, in the house of God. I stand here today not on my own feet, but by people who love me, people who invested in my life. I think about my youth pastor, Terry Heron, who loved me, invested in me, and was constant and even told me the hard things that I needed to hear because I was immature. But I think about him often because he invested in my life early. Think about Brother Danny Owenby and how, when I was running away from the calling of God, God sent him my way working at the Walmart in Greenwood, Arkansas. to begin to invest in my life. And then at a coffee shop in Hackett, Arkansas, just sitting and talking with him, I learned so much about the work of God. And then from your pastor, Brother Carl Cheshire, I would not be where I am today had it not been for him. He told me something very early as I began my ministry. People do not care what you know till they know that you care. I tell you, Brother Carl, that's been a great model in my ministry. I'll never forget that. I'm going to tell you that, church. People don't care what you know till they know that you care. People are in your basket. Maybe there's blind people who do not know Jesus, lost people who do not know Jesus Christ. They need you to care for them. They need you to show the love of Jesus Christ to them. You could be burdened believers. You could be busy believers or baby Christians. How many knows that everybody needs some investment in their life? And I want to tell you, if you're blind this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know Jesus. He loves you today. And He wants to save your life. If you're a baby Christian, I want to tell you, begin to grow in the Lord. Read the Word of God daily. Be a light and a testimony as you grow. If you're carrying a burden, I'll tell you today, do not carry it alone. Give it to Jesus. If you're running from Jesus, I'll tell you this, come home. He loves you. He loves you today dearly. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what your basket looks like. But I do know God came to speak this word into your hearts and into mine. Tell you, God has sent us for a purpose. I'd ask that you would stand all over the house.